welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the afterthought of free speech, because it's what you think of after you thought, oh, we used to have free speech and now it's all gone. And then you remember, oh yeah, we have RBN and there's still free speech there. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on donate buttons, send money, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is part 2 of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Patrick. It's been a great part 1 last night on In Plain Sight. And we're moving to domestic politics in the U.S.
And a very oldie but goodie song at the end, too.
It's not been the year of the hoax. It's been the last 3 years of the hoax. I mean, we've had COVID, BLM, election hoax. We've had Russia-Ukraine conflict. And now Israel-Palestine.
Yeah.
What's next? World War III?
So we were at, you know, I know we've mentioned this a few times. 2013 is like almost over, and where's the big mega hoax? And I don't know if
2023,
and I don't know if the I mean, you could certainly frame what's going on in Gaza and Israel as a hoax, in that it's like the idea of Israel being some sort of victim is a hoax. I mean, that's a complete hoax. And there are a lot of hoaxes associated with this. So.
Well yeah. And I think that Putin, Xi, and, you know, the Iranian government, Syrian government, I think they're coming to the table with Netanyahu and the gang. And I think they're telling, you know, Nguyen and Blinken to just sit this one out. And they're going to have to come up with something to keep some sort of global, you know, peace going on, at least avoid bombs flying and invasions, which is not going to happen, by the way, no ground invasions from Israel.
Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Not going to do it.
It wouldn't
be prudent.
Saturday Night Live, George Bush. Who was that, Dana Carvey?
That was Dana Carvey. And that was, yeah, that's more of a George Bush caricature than an impersonation, but it was fun.
I was just a kid, but we found it entertaining. Well, we were getting into domestic stuff, talking about the Biden entity or the Biden's lobes. Biden versus unconnected ears Biden.
The Biden object.
Yeah. The prophylactic.
Unidentified Biden object. That's what he is.
The ancient prophylactic that could crack at any time, getting us all chlamydia. Yeah, it's not looking good. This WAPO post, was it New York Post? It was New York Post. It was NYPost, not WAPost. It was NYPost. There's this Siena College pollster, and Steve Greenberg. I'm not going to indict the guy, but Greenberg, I mean, you know, talking about
Al Greenberg, the slugger from what, the 1930s on the Detroit Tigers. I'm pretty sure he was Jewish.
This is Steve Greenberg. Seldom do we see an issue where at least 79% of Democrats, Republicans, independents, men, women, blacks, whites, Latinos, Catholic, Jews, and Protestants all agree that the migrant flux in New York is a serious problem. This is gaining a lot of traction, and we were just talking last night about them throwing the Biden entity under the bus and maybe going with Chins Newsom. That's a possibility. But at any rate, it's a problem that can't be ignored. And I think Steven Steinlein's predictions are coming to light. They're coming very true. That Jew knew what he was talking about. Immigration is an issue, and it is affecting Jewish power.
Yeah, it so there was a video that a friend of mine sent me, and it was a video of the southern border. I would assume California, it wasn't the Rio Grande, it could have been, but it was where they had a border wall, Trump's high border wall. And there was a big gate, a big door, and it was wide open. And these people just walking through, and the customs or the border guard was just handing them pieces of paper. So is there even a pretense of trying to keep people out? I don't even think there's a pretense. So.
Border security is more like just an escort service for illegal third worlders. Hey, here's your food stamps and your $2,200 a month. Let us book you in a hotel in New York. Do you want a hotel with a pool? There's a bar in this one. I mean, it's getting really crazy. We were talking about something else. If you want to talk more about domestic politics, with Biden sinking in the polls, Trump is rising amidst all of the political persecution against our Israel first plugs. That's got to be plugs, bro. I mean, or some kind of like sophisticated hair transplant system that he's got going on there. Whether a blonde plugged up America first dude who still represents white people in the eyes of white people and in the eyes of the establishment, he does. But he's rising in the polls. There was a Citizens Watch report that we were talking about, Byron, New York. Let's see. Trump's unprecedented lead amongst the GOP. Supposedly, it stands at 59% among Republican voters, his lead, and Ron DeSantis coming in second. What is the data telling you? I want to get your take. I don't want to taint the audience with my blue collar, let's crack a beer and drink a martini take after work. I'm going to get your like professional take. What's the data telling us? Biden sinking in the media, Trump rising. Even amidst all of this, what are we looking at?
Okay, first I have to issue a correction. The Detroit Tigers slugger from the 30s and 40s was Hank Greenberg, not Al Greenberg, and he was Jewish. That having been cleared up, because I know a lot of people were out there saying, "What do you mean, Al? It's Hank." I know a lot of people, RBN listeners in particular. But so no matter what they do to Trump, he's at 60% in the polls, something like that, and DeSantis is 13%, something like that. And then you've got chlamydia, might not chlamydia. She probably has chlamydia, but Nimrata, what's her name? Nikki Haley. She
The
and the
Indian Israel chick.
yeah the Indian Israel chick, and then the semi-based Indian guy, Raswami, and
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy, and former vice president, what was his name? Rush
Oh yeah,
Bannon.
the guy from Johnny Quest.
Yeah,
Johnny.
Bannon. What was it?
Oh.
Not Rash Bannon. What was this guy's name?
I don't know, the Johnny Quest dude. That's who. Yeah. Pence, that's who Pence looks like.
Yeah, that's who Pence looks like. Yeah. So here again, I'm messing up the first name. He has a really cool first name. It's something Bannon. The last name Bannon, like Steve Bannon.
Oh, the character on Johnny Quest? I don't remember the character's name.
It's like race war Bannon.
Wow.
Yeah, race Bannon. And who, by the way, was he would go to rooms with women who were not his wife, unlike Mike Pence, who's afraid of women, except for his wife. But they're all vying for third place at around 5 or 6%, and then and then Chris Christie is kind of huffing and puffing and out of breath as he tries to you know, maintain sixth place. He's sweating.
Krispy Kreme.
Sweating like
a Krispy
stuffed pig. Yeah, Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme is just trying to make it. He's wanting the next donut shop, man. He's just got to make it to the next donut shop.
He's got to make it, yeah, sweating like a stuck pig. That's what my dad would have said. He's sweating like a stuck pig.
I mean, Byron New York is pulling out some stuff here that sort of surprised you. Much contention in Arizona and Pennsylvania over the 2020 election hoax.
Anyway, so, he referenced something, I guess, regarding the speaker's race, because Jim Jordan, the Republicans, not very many Republicans really wanted Jim Jordan. They want somebody who is going to make deals with the Democrats. Apparently, there's a lot of them. So now there's 9 people running for speaker, and apparently 7 of them. And this is actually kind of positive, but 7 of them had voted against certifying either the Arizona or the Pennsylvania electoral votes. And, you know, I remember January 6th, and you had the objection to the Arizona votes. And then that was at about 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the Senate went over to the Senate chambers, and each house debated the merits of the objection. They started the debate, and then at 2 p.m., 45 minutes into the debate, is when the police locked down the Capitol, and they escorted the politicians out of the building through the tunnels. And you had the Occupy Congress event. So I knew that they came back together at night, and they just kind of more or less rammed it through at night. I had just assumed they'd rammed it through, but you know, I'm surprised that I wasn't more up on this, because nobody ever talked about it. Nobody ever talked about it. They certified the election at about 3 a.m., but what had happened was they came back, and they weren't objecting to every single state. But Rudy Giuliani started calling senators, telling them to object to every single state. And now, the fact that he was doing this at the time he was doing it, he didn't say to every single state, but he said to many states. That indicates to me that at the level of Rudy Giuliani, who had President Trump's ear, they were not on the Slattery plan. Peter Navarro had said that actually they were planning on objecting to every state. But if they had been planning on objecting to every state, then I don't think they didn't object to Alabama and Alaska. And then why did Rudy Giuliani have to make these calls? At any rate, you had members of the House of Representatives object to 5 more states, but no senators joined in except for Josh Hawley joined in for Pennsylvania. So they had to recess and debate Pennsylvania, but instead of debating the merits of Pennsylvania, they just went and started bitching about the Occupy Congress event and denouncing Donald Trump. And then they voted to certify everything. I didn't remember that about Pennsylvania. But honestly, I don't think I heard it in the first place. I don't think I ever heard that there were any objections. I had assumed that they were 100% cucked and just passed everything. But apparently there were people who when the Congress came back into session, and they had a vote on Arizona, there were still a lot of people voting against certifying Arizona, and there were a lot of Republicans voting against certifying Pennsylvania. And by the way, Rashida Tlaib, the Democrat Palestinian member of Congress from Detroit, whose best Best known from the Andrew Anglin article that was saying, why does she always look like she's constipated and trying to. Anyway, it's kind of gross, but actually kind of true. She always has that look on her face. She abstained. Was she not present? I don't know. So that was all kind of interesting to me. Maybe it's just trivia, but now it turns out that most of the people running for Speaker of the House were people who voted against certifying Arizona and Pennsylvania, people who didn't completely cuck. And that's a good sign. I mean, it's no big deal. But the one other thing is Matt Gaetz, and maybe this is getting a little bit astray from the Byron York article, but Matt Gaetz is saying that all of the people running for Speaker are saying that if elected, they will release the January 6th tapes, the videos.
So. The Kraken. Speaking of releasing the Kraken, Sidney Powell really just turned on Trump. I guess they threatened her with all kinds of jail time. And she's coming out now saying there was no election fraud. It was all just nonsense. They got to her, you know, which that whole thing, they were pushing the voting machines, which was the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
The mail-in ballots, carrying in ballots and shutting down, in key cities. That was the key.
Yeah.
To pushing back against this election hoax. And so they got to Powell, and the Kraken is released, all right, but it's not released on the establishment. They're trying to release it on Trump.
I honestly think probably Powell believed what she was saying at the time she said it, but Powell and what's the guy's name, Lynn Wood, and the former crack addict that sells pillows, my pillow guy. Yeah, pillow guy. They're boomers, they're boomers, and they don't understand this kind of computer stuff. And so, they're there saying that the votes were being sent to Venezuela to be counted, and then they were being sent back. What does she think happens? That's not how you hack computers.
Venezuela is socialist and therefore communist.
And therefore, it's China.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm observing is the Republican Party is a party in total chaos. You got MAGA members, you got establishment members, rhinos, and rhinos are the establishment.
Those are the real Republicans. When you get
the real Republicans, yeah, are what you would call rhinos 15 years ago or 10 years ago. They don't represent white people in any way. So what's missing from the Republican Party is no pro-white people at all. And you just got this party in chaos. And my analysis is that Trump has successfully destroyed the Republican Party. He's the avatar for white people, sure. But he doesn't really represent white people. At the end of the day, no one does. I mean, I still don't know what to make of this. This is why you got people saying it was all planned and there was a plan and Trump was planned and all that. I mean, I'm not buying into that specifically. I'm just asking the question, like, this is the result. The Republican Party is complete chaos. It's destroyed. Trump could very easily just go third party. He could do whatever he wants.
A life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Planned, and there was a plan, and Trump was planned, and all that. I mean, I'm not buying into that specifically. I'm just asking the question, like, this is the result. The Republican Party is complete chaos. It's destroyed. Trump could very easily just go third party. He could do whatever he wants and get it. Do they want Trump in? And if so, why?
Well, if they means the Jewish power structure, the Jewish dominated elite. No, they don't. Although there may be some people who think, yeah, well, he was president before, and we were able to beat him pretty much at every turn, and so we could probably beat him again. Maybe there are some people who think that, but I think in general they think no, it's too risky, and they were able to manipulate Trump and defeat Trump during his first term. And part of that was because Trump had let in all of these establishment Republicans who are much more comfortable working with the Jewish dominated elite than working against it. He had let all those people into the cabinet. Trump made a lot of mistakes that he doesn't necessarily have to repeat. Maybe he will repeat them, but he doesn't have to repeat them. And I think there are things that Trump can do that the Jewish-dominated elite would have trouble stopping him if he actually tried. He made, you know, last all these unforced errors last time, bringing Jared Kushner in and giving him massive responsibilities. Will he do it again? It's possible. It's possible. I mean, they seem to have had a falling out, but I wouldn't be that surprised if
well, that's where you get to the conspiracy of the Chabad Lubavitch, you know, with Kushner infiltrating Trump and Russia ties and all that. That's where you get that conspiracy. I'm just saying, like, with what we discussed last night on In Plain Sight, these powers don't want a World War III. They want a peace brokerage. They want to continue on with this shift to the East because it's lucrative for them. And Trump being an anti-war candidate, I mean, I think it would be the perfect person to bring into power. He doesn't want war in the Middle East. He is anti-war. He's pro-Israel to the hilt, but he's anti-war.
Yeah, and where does – what kind of pro-Israel – why is he pro-Israel? I mean, you can address that, but I want to pick apart his – the reasons that he was pro-Israel compared to the reasons that certain other people are pro-Israel.
Well, Trump the man is an opportunist. I think Don Black hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. You know, Don Black called it from the beginning years ago, 2015 even, on Stormfront. You can pull up the archives. And Trump just saw that, you know, as a voting block, the pro-Israel Christian Zionists were a voting block that would put him in power. Just like, you know, the very small sliver of pro-white nationalists could help sway the election. I think it's not even Trump. I think that it was who was Trump's speechwriter, the Jewish guy? They called him a white.
Steve Miller.
It's
from the Steve Miller Band. And fly like an eagle.
Keeps like on eagle. Slipping, yeah. slipping.
Jungle Rock.
Steve Miller was the brains behind Trump's campaign, in my opinion. And being a Jew and being in touch with the alt-right, having, you know, rubbed elbows, you know, in college with the one guy, the Punch the Nazi guy. Dude, I'm just like, everything's...
Well, I mean, that's because
hold on.
Did you hear my show from yesterday, by the way, Jeremy?
Yeah, you were doing this too. What's the guy's name? Punch the Nazi guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Shout out his name. Say his name.
Richard Spencer.
Miller rubbed elbows with Richard Spencer at Duke in college. And he's, you know, Miller as a Jew is very, very in touch with the alt-right. And I mean, I would argue that the alt-right, whatever that is, you know, memed Trump into candidacy and into the White House. They were a huge part of that. And there were a lot of people that were involved in that, a lot of organizations, the Stormer, TRS. And I'm not saying all these people are shills or controlled, but like they just, you know, saw the movement and latched onto it and went with it. You know, I think it's a pretty solid argument that Trump got into power through memes on the internet and through awareness of pro-white and immigration issues, also of issues of non-intervention and issues of making peace with Russia. Get all this coming together now, you know, looking at it in retrospect.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Pro-white and immigration issues, also of issues of non-intervention and issues of making peace with Russia. You get all this coming together now, you're looking at it in retrospect. So where were we going with this? Why would they want Trump in, okay, and why the pro-Israel?
Well,
he's just under the advisement of Stephen Miller. Trump was throwing dog whistles out to whoever he could to get in power. He's an opportunist. He likes power. He likes to be recognized. He likes to be the man in charge. I'm not even going to use the word, but you know, he's full of himself, and he could be used as a tool. I mean, he could have very well been used as a tool for us, but he wasn't. He was used as a tool of Jewish power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, pro-Israel in the sense that he was catering to the Christian Zionists. I don't think he cares, quite honestly. But, I mean, you do have his daughter married into Jared Kushner. And they do have ties with Lubavitch in Russia. And you got all that. And
yeah,
this is why people come up with these intricate conspiracy theories.
Right. So Trump, I think in Trump's case, it was purely transactional. That he was supporting Israel because he thought he was going to get something out of it. And you could say, well, you know, that's what it is for all these people. They're all just bought and paid for. But I think in Trump's case, it was much more of a kind of like a temporary, like a deal of convenience. Trump was going after parts of the Jewish power structure, the media in particular, the fake news. And he was also attacking the very high priority and arguably the top priority, which is the massive immigration. Those were two things that Trump will always be remembered for. You know, we got to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. The Mexico pay for itself was stupid, but you know, build the wall. You know, they're rapists, they're murderers. Presumably, some of them are good people. And then the fake news, your fake news. And those are attacks on Jews and their priorities. And I think he thought that by going at least symbolically pro-Israel and doing symbolic things that no one else had done before, such as redesignate the building in Jerusalem from being a consulate to an embassy. And that's all he did. It was completely symbolic. He didn't build a new embassy. And describe or recognize the 50-year-old Jewish control of the Golan Heights as being like Israeli law applies there. I mean, it's really just kind of a technicality. It didn't change anything on the ground. You could argue that in the last year of his presidency, the Abraham Accords might have changed a few things on the ground. But for the most part, everything he did in support of Israel was symbolic. All the presidents have been supplying massive weaponry. So what I'm getting at is, whereas Mike Pence or Mike Pence is pro-Israel because he is just super Christian Zionist. He wears it on his sleeve, and there's no way he can go back. That is a deal for life. And Nikki Haley, she's a whore. I don't think she has. I don't think she's a Christian. I think she's a whore. But she's made this deal, and it's nothing she could ever back out of. Whereas Trump, I think Trump can back out of it. He can say, you know, I did all this stuff for Israel, and what did I get in return? And make it completely personal. He could throw Israel under the bus. Would he? Probably not, but he could. He's got that kind of – he's done that over and over and over again. I mean, you look at his personal relationship with Chris Krispy Kreme. And he'll say, yeah, he's a great guy. He's, you know, we got along just great when he was governor of New York. I gave him lots of money – lots of campaign contributions, and then he says he's the worst governor ever, and then he goes back to being friends, and then he goes back to calling him. Did you hear what he said about Chris Christie? He said this at one of his rallies, like last month. He said, you know, a lot of people call Chris Christie a fat pig. I tell them not to do that. I would never do that, but a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are saying that. I wouldn't say that, and I think he would be proud of how I'm defending him.
that's just part of how he appeals to the working class. I mean, that's what a working class guy would say. You put a microphone in front of my mouth, I mean, I'm going to say stuff like that. You know, I'm going to take shots at people. I'm not going to care. He's appealing to that. You know, would he throw Israel under the bus? No way. They have too many hooks in him.
I know. I think conceivably he would throw anybody under the bus.
All right, but like the prosecution from the Southern District of New York proves that they've got a lot of hooks in them. They could take him down if they wanted to. But in light of what we talked about last night, you know, with Russia and China brokering a peace deal in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas and Lebanon and Iran, Trump would be the perfect candidate to be like, yeah, you know, I mean, Trump would totally support an Israeli and Palestinian state, a third temple, and because he's totally anti-war. That's why I'm thinking they're pushing this guy. I mean, I think that the Steinlight Jews, which are a sliver, just a very small sliver of Jewish power, you know, I think they're saying, hey, you shot your wad. You you've done your thing with the Biden chlamydia thing, and it's not working. People don't like it, and we're going to get a revolt. Let's put this guy back in. Let's do a peace deal. Let's bring everybody in the table, and let's do the Eurasian shift. That's where I think it's going.
Well, and like I say, there may be, well, I'm sure there are people who in the Jewish community who have similar thoughts, who have thoughts like that. There are so-called right-wing Jews like Steven Steinlight who might have thoughts like that. There are left-wing Jews who I'm sure don't want Trump back, but these two Jewish groups, the Jewish Voice for Peace and the I think it's called If Not Now, right? That's another Jewish group, and they went into the Capitol and did an insurrection. Of course, they're not going to get. They went in and did demonstrations in the Capitol. There are a lot of Jews who realize that the Jewish power structure and Israel has overplayed its hand. And here's the thing: you can look at Ukraine, and Ukraine is a great case study. And it was a Jewish project, and it's got a Jewish president and largely Jewish leadership. And it was the Jewish-run State Department that was pushing this project. It wasn't the Pentagon. And it was, you know, that it was the State Department. It was the Jews in the State Department. And it's, I mean, you can just look at the timeline. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, they could have preserved Ukraine. They'd never get Crimea back, but Ukraine could have had the Donbass back. It could have maintained its territorial integrity. But it could have been a neutral country, not in NATO, but, you know, a neutral country that has relations, economic relations with the EU, and it's got certain relationship with NATO, but not a membership. They could have gotten that, but they pushed, and then they got to a point where a month after the war started, they were having negotiations in Turkey, where they could have kept Ukraine as a single country, but they would have had to give up the Donbass. And then they got to the point where, well, they could have given up, say, a year ago, but they wouldn't get back the Donbass, and they wouldn't get back Zaporozhye and Kherson region. And now, of course, the longer this goes on, the less they're ever getting back. And the thing about Israel is Israel just kept going and going and going. And I think it's reached this point now with this Hamas crisis and with the bombing campaign, that the longer it goes on, the worse settlement they're going to get. So because they kept wanting more, they kept going back for double or nothing, double or nothing, double or nothing. Well, they have been on a winning streak. They're not on a winning streak now. And the longer this this conflict goes on, the more international opinion and even domestic opinion in the United States is turning against them. And even if a majority of Americans remain pro-Israel, you know, largely boomers and older people, but even so, people who might not have been pro-Israel in the first place are becoming very anti-Israel, especially younger people. So it's not necessarily that pro-Israel people are going to be turning against Israel, but people who weren't giving the whole thing a second thought are now, that's becoming a big thing for them in America. But around the world, the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be for Israel. And if it goes on long enough, they're going to have to make massive concessions. So, and I think that smarter Jews who have been following this closely are realizing it. And that's why there are these efforts to try to prevent a ground invasion. And there's going to be pressure to do an international conference sooner rather than later. It's not going to come from the administration, because these people, the Jews that run foreign policy, for the most part, don't have any kind of they don't have a reverse gear. They don't have brakes. They can't see an off ramp. But I think there may be some people in the administration who know that this is, like, some people, maybe Jake Sullivan or somebody who knows that this is going to doom the administration and doom their own personal careers. But yeah, the longer it goes on, the worse it is for Israel. Just like the longer that the Ukraine war goes on, the worse it is for Ukraine.
And I think you're seeing a huge shift. You talk about political paradigm shifts, a huge shift in Jewish power. Whereas you're mentioning the trajectory that they're going on now is just not tenable. And, you know, they need to broker some kind of peace deal. I think left-wing Jews would like to round up all Trump supporters and connect them with Russia and Putin and take them the way of January 6th protesters in the gulag. Total just disregarding their rights, Patriot Act, top tier stuff. I think that's what the left-wing Jews want. And your Jews that support Trump, your Steinleitz, your Millers, they're wanting a more palatable way forward to get everybody on the same page, get a peace deal, let's get this thing under control, and let's not mess up what we have here in the West. I think that's what you're watching. You're watching a power grab or a shift or a battle between Jewish power right now.
Well, they have it good, and I think the bulk of Jewish power is probably dyed in the wool pro Israel, but Jewish power isn't the entirety of power in the United States. The Jews have been able to dominate because they've been able to keep together some sort of coalition. And this is something that's rupturing the coalition that they dominate and they lead. So
let me add this into your comments, and I want to get your feedback. What would be more pro-Israel than negotiating a two-state deal, something that's never been able to be done? What would be more palatable to Jewish power than to do that? What would be more pro-Israel than to stop the fighting and actually negotiate this two-state solution?
Well, I mean, the bulk of Jews have been, their position has been to drag out kabuki, so to speak, make-believe peace process, just drag it out and drag it out in bad faith, and the whole time just send more and more settlers into the Palestinian regions and make a two-state solution impossible. That's been the mainstream approach. And so at this point now, a two-state solution 30 years ago, for instance, right in the wake of the first Gulf War, and George H.W. Bush, when he was at 85-90% in the polls and he was being celebrated as some great hero, he tried to get something like that going. And then partly just because he was not gonna do it, because he was a foolish kind of there was something to Dana Carvey's impersonation or characterization of him, but he became very unpopular and he was wound up being a one-term president and lost badly in a year later in his reelection bid. But he tried to do this, and of course that alienated a big hunk of Jewish power and helped pave the way for Clinton to become president. But yeah, he tried to do it, and had you had a settlement like that 30 years ago in the West Bank, how many settlers were there? It was less than 200,000. It might have been like 100,000. Now it's well over 500,000. And so it's any kind of two-state solution has become way more difficult. In order to do it, the Israelis have to make much more concessions. So to do it 30 years ago, to say, okay, the what we consider the West Bank is going to be part of the West Bank in Gaza, as defined by what was occupied after the 1967 war. That will be the Palestinian state, and it will have its capital in East Jerusalem.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Is going to be part of the West Bank in Gaza, as defined by what was occupied after the 1967 war. That will be the Palestinian state, and it will have its capital in East Jerusalem. That could have, that in order to do that 30 years ago would have required the resettlement of maybe 100,000 Jews. To do that today, it requires way more. It's a much bigger concession now. The same result is a much bigger concession, because you've got, you know, I don't know what the settlements are, but I would think they have to be more than 500,000 people now. And to make it a little bit easier 30 years ago, you could have just kind of redrawn the border a little bit, and so that some of the larger settlements could remain in Israel, and maybe you give the Palestinians some relatively unsettled lands somewhere else, like in the Negev. You might have been able to do that 30 years. That would have been easier to do 30 years ago. It's all so much more difficult to do now. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Actually, I think it's very likely to happen, but it's a much bigger concession for Israel now. And, you know, if you're, it's a much bigger concession. So, and the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be. We got about three more minutes.
They got to give up the settlements, among many other things, and they got to agree to some sort of two-state solution. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. We're throwing stuff out there. I think that's why you're seeing Trump ahead in the polls. He may be the president that presides over this.
Yeah. But here's one more scenario, okay? So they drag for the Netanyahu government after, okay, A, it's already being blamed for allowing this to take place in the first place, allowing the Hamas attack to be so successful. So they're being blamed for that. I don't know how many Israelis might think that it was done, it was allowed intentionally or not. There probably are some who think that. It's already under all this criticism for having allowed this to take place in the first place, whether it's intentional or not. And then if this continues to go on, you've got if there is a ground invasion, you've got all these dead Israelis. If it does, if they keep bombing and bombing, there's going to be back and forth with Hezbollah. At some point, Iran could get involved. You could get a regional war, and in a regional war, what happens to Israel? In a regional war, Israel could be massively hit, massively weakened, and would it even survive? Would it even survive? And if it does survive, are you going to be going back to 1967 borders or 1948 borders or what? So it's massive risk for Israel. And anyway, we're pretty much at the end of the show. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, we'll just see how this plays out. Again, I think an international peace deal is sought for, and we should look for that to happen, and probably under the guise of China and Russia.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.